Isaiah 6. You're familiar with this passage. I want to preach a message out of this. I hope this is an encouragement. It may start like a downer, which we've already had the upper, all right? The encouragement from Brother Rust. I appreciate that encouragement out of Psalm 67. This might start out like a downer, all right? So hopefully, though, it's going to end on the upswing, which that's the kind of way movie scripts go, right? We know that there's a negative that starts it all out, and then it goes on the upswing. So hopefully this message is like that. But Isaiah 6 this morning, here's Isaiah the prophet, who was a major prophet, right? And a well-known prophet, and his book is extremely significant in Scripture. 66 books like the Bible, or 66 chapters like the Bible is 66 books. And of course, prophetic, extremely prophetic, not just for Israel, but for us. And I hope that we can see this morning that that's the way this chapter is. He was prophet during the kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Three of these were God-approved kings, Uzziah, Jotham, and Hezekiah. Ahaz brought in serious idolatry to Judah. He made images of Baal, observed infant sacrifice, and worshipped in high places. While visiting in Damascus, he saw an altar that he admired and had one like it reproduced in Jerusalem, establishing it as his official place of sacrifice at the temple. He intentionally damaged several of the sacred vessels of the temple and even closed the temple doors, forcing the people then to worship where and as he desired. So Israel was in difficulty, Judah specifically, that Isaiah was the prophet to, and this applies to. And in spite of the good kings there, it was in spiritual decline. Israel had already declined and was looking at destruction eventually by Assyria. And we know that in the Old Testament, destruction for Judah came at the hands of Babylon because of kings like Ahaz, and really because of the people who desired this type of thing, who were involved in this type of paganism, this idolatry, this gradual decline toward paganism. And we see that Judah, though Isaiah was a great prophet, and many of the other prophets were great prophets, great men of God, yet still the people just would not turn away from that paganism and desired that idolatry and sacrifice of children in the Valley of Hinnom. How reprehensible. And we know firsthand what wickedness that is as a nation. And so Isaiah here is preaching, he's prophesying, he's preaching to a dying nation. Look at it in Isaiah 6. If you can, stand with me, please, as I read the scripture to you. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I'm looking forward to seeing that myself, aren't you? I love to go out west and see the Rocky Mountains, especially with a rifle strapped to my shoulder, binoculars around my neck. Buddy, I can't wait to see this. Amen. We'll have knee pads on because we'll probably be on our knees or faces for quite a while when we see this. And I'd like to preach on that, but that's not my subject. And you know this passage, the seraphims, the six wings, how interesting all that is, right? This is going to be something, folks, when we see this. So jump down with me. We'll skip that because that's not a part of my message. And for time, we'll look at verse number 7. I'm sorry, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That's interesting, isn't it? That's a study in itself. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And we preach this, right? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And that's a great missions passage. But I want to focus on verses 9 through 13. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand what? Not. And see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But it, yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, and they, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I want to preach out of this passage this morning. Lord, how long? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word, Lord. And I don't have the brains to be able to do this like it needs to be done, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words to say, that it might be a help to all of us. Lord, we need your help. We are not self-sufficient. We are desperately needy. I pray that you'd help us. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah is preaching to a dying nation. A dying nation spiritually. Now, they may have been enjoying prosperity and success as a nation, and been able to enjoy the kings building them economically, and some of them did. But they were dying spiritually. They'd had some good kings, but the people were continually rebelling against God and going into idolatry, wickedness, perversion, as I've already mentioned, the paganism. And that was a continuing problem, right? I read one time through the Old Testament. As I read that time, I just kept notes on the kings. Good king, bad king. You know what I'm saying? And just went through the Old Testament and keeping record that way. And it was so sad as I read that, as I read the scriptures, so sad to write again. Bad king. Bad king. And it was refreshing to get to a good king, right? And then it was amazing that after a good king like Hezekiah, his son immediately following, bad king. And how often there were bad kings, kings that God was angry with and sent prophets to give them the word of God, to give them the message, to give them direction, to give them warning, and they would ignore it and continue in idolatry and paganism and wickedness. And of course, I want to liken this to us. The application is, guys, like it or not, we're preaching to a dying nation. We are. Dad's 83 years old. I'm 58. I'm not really very old. I don't think 58 is very old. I used to. When I was 28, 58 was real old. I don't feel like 58 is very old, but I've been around long enough to see great revivals in the past and only a shadow of that now. And that's tough. That's tough to take. It's tough for me to take. I went to Salina expecting great things, man. And we have had great things. Amen. And I'm not complaining. I don't want this to be a crybaby sermon, all right? I don't like crybabies. I don't like NFL players that are getting paid way too much, kneeling at the national anthem like a bunch of crybabies. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't want people to be crybabies. I don't like Donald Trump and some of the tweets that he does, really kind of being a crybaby about some things. A leader should not pay attention to his critics. He needs to ignore. Reagan was perfect on that. He ignored his critics. And I don't like being a crybaby. But I'm just trying to relate to you. Here's my goal today, to encourage you, because we're all in the same boat here. Amen. You are encountering difficulties in ministry like I am. It seems to me like that when I went on visitation years ago, it was a lot easier to win people to Christ than it is today. To get into the homes. To be able to talk to people. To get people to come to church. It seems to me like we're preaching to a dying nation. I've heard my dad say it and other preachers say many times, you know, there's no guarantee that the United States is going to be here in the last days when the prophecy is being fulfilled, Gog and Magog and the Antichrist and all. There's no United States in Scripture there. Maybe the young lions, maybe that. But there's no guarantee. We feel invincible as a nation. Our people think we're invincible. Brother, we're not. We do not have to exist for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And so we're seeing a nation that is vulnerable, though people don't see it. They don't feel it. It's like Sunday when the tornado came to Salina. We were sitting right there in the plaza where the tornado hit before it came. We were eating at a Chinese restaurant, and we're all looking at our phones. Tornado watch. And that was a topic of discussion while we're sitting there at the Chinese restaurant, a bunch of us. And so my wife is getting scared, and we're getting in the parking lot, driving out. And I said, there ain't going to be no tornado. And my wife said, don't say that. Because every time what I say about the weather, the opposite happens. And I promise you, right where I made the statement is where the tornado hit. I'm not kidding you. Dunham Sporting Goods was, the tornado picked the roofs up of those buildings and then dropped them. Crown, Dunham's, Ruler Food. I mean, the roofs, just the steel girders holding the factory roof up are twisted. And so it's all going to have to be cut out, removed, replaced, going to be shut down for a month. And two tornadoes hit. And the second one, I'll tell you what, when the sirens went off the second time, people moved. The first time, not so much. And that's the way our nation is. As a nation, the Bible is sounding the sirens, and people are ignoring it. Our nation is ignoring the signs of destruction of our nation. We're imploding. We're self-destructing. Russia can't hurt us. North Korea, that's a joke. I love the title Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un. That's hilarious. He's a clown. But he's a dangerous clown. And the sirens are going off, and our people are ignoring it. Our Christian people. It's not the pagans that are ignoring it. It's the Christians that are ignoring it. It's the people that are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears that are ignoring the truth of the Word of God, ignoring the preaching against sin, ignoring the preaching against adultery and moral perversion and immorality. They're ignoring that. Why? Because they're ignoring the Word of God. We're a dying nation. We're preaching to that. But God knew that and said to Isaiah, preach to him. You're going to preach to him. You're going to do this for me, not for you. God says they're not going to listen. He said in verse 9, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. He's saying they're not going to listen. It's not that God stopped them from listening. In the narrative there, it sounds like that's what it's saying. That's what we kind of conceive or perceive, that that's what God's saying. But actually God is saying they're not going to listen. They're going to rebel. They're going to turn away from the message. And they did. We know that. That Israel's history is that they turned away. And that God actually intended to destroy them because of their paganism and wickedness and turning away from the prophets. God then sent them the destruction and would not allow the repentance. Even Hezekiah repented, but God said no. And who was it? Josiah repented, and he was a great king. But God said, well, I'm going to let you enjoy peace during your lifetime, but destruction's coming. Right? Amen. Why? Because God was so disgusted with their wickedness, their rebellion against him. Mm-hmm. God said, no, you're done. And so Isaiah says, how long? God says, how long? I'll tell you how long. And we see it in verse number 11, till the cities be wasted without inhabitant. Mm-hmm. Our dying nation is going to continue to die. And the death is going to happen even in our churches, sadly. Our church is half of what it used to be. I'm saying that to encourage you because some of you are enduring the same kind of thing. And here these guys are planting churches, Brother Wallace, Brother Scott, Brother Rudolph, and I'm thrilled about those guys. But I'll tell you what, planting a church nowadays is a whole lot tougher than it used to be. I can remember that in the days when the BBF would support a church planter for 6 months, health insurance, and then there would be a review after 6 months, and they would think that by 6 months, you'll probably have it self-supporting. Can you imagine? 6 months. Not that way today, is it? It's like 6 years, isn't it, Brother Rudolph? We've been talking about that. And by the way, he's got a problem with his well at the church. If you guys know anybody that can fix a well, he needs help with that. But it's not 6 months anymore. It's years for planning a church. Why? It's difficult out there. They're not going to listen. They're turning away. They're not going to pay attention. And Isaiah says, Lord, how long? Here's the thought. God is calling Isaiah to do an unsuccessful ministry. Right? Isaiah, you're going to go preach and you're going to fail. Yes. That's it. You're not going to have a successful ministry. Except that you're doing what I tell you to do.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the encouragement that we need to rely upon in the Word of God. That's what keeps me going in the ministry. I'm going to tell you something. Can I be real honest with you? That sometimes my chairs are right here on my stage. I get up and sit down in the chair and look out at the audience on Sunday morning and I look and think, where are they at? Where are those Christians that are supposed to be here? What is the matter with these people? Doesn't anybody have any commitment anymore? Does anybody have any dedication anymore? And then on top of that, the ones that are there are sleeping. Or so dead you couldn't wake them up with a baseball bat. I'm crying, aren't I? That sounds like I'm crying. I don't want to be crying. I'm just stating to you guys, especially, because I want you to know you're not alone. I feel like sometimes I got to put on a clown wig and dance around and goof off just to keep people's attention in the pulpit. Don't you? I'm trying to preach, trying to keep their attention, trying to do things to keep the people's attention, try to wake them up, try to stir them up, try to get them motivated to do something for God. You feel that way sometimes? Oh, I know. Probably you're sitting there thinking, no, you're just a lousy preacher. And your building's a piece of junk and your breath's bad. That's what it is. That all may be true. It may be true. But it seems like it's a lot harder than it used to be. I feel like we're preaching to a dying nation. So what do? I'll tell you what we do. We do what God has told us to do until the cities are wasted. And the land is desolate. And the cities are wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man. Can you imagine what Isaiah knew was coming for Judah? He knew it. God told him that. It's coming. You're going to see the total destruction of this nation. But yet, Isaiah was one of the most significant men in Bible history.
Yes.
Was he not?
Yes.
God spoke through him and still does. God still speaks through him. God help us that while we are in a dying nation, that we remain faithful to God and to seek. You know what? Does it not cause us to get on our knees and seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God more?
Amen.
Because we're realizing if we see anything good done for God, it's not going to be us. God's going to have to do it.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to have to do it.
Amen.
God help us.
Yes.
I just finish with this. I remember that I traveled with Dad to the nation of Haiti in the 70s. And we traveled from Port-au-Prince up to a little town called Anse Rouge, and a little town up in the dry area of Haiti, which all is dry. People starving to death, literally. And there was a pastor of a church up there in Anse Rouge. He was from that town. I think he'd gotten saved down in Port-au-Prince through a missionary. I don't remember exactly how it all went, but we visited, and he had a church there, and he'd been there already 19 or 20 years, something like that. He had been preaching in that town 19 years before he won his first convert to Jesus Christ. 19 years. I don't think I have that much endurance. 19 years before his first convert. But you know what? He stuck with it. The first convert that he had was one of the most wicked women in town. She came to him and said, "I need what you're talking about." He led her to Christ. Her life changed. Because of her, he won many people to Jesus Christ and was able to build a concrete building, church building, and win more people to Christ. God flipped the switch for him, turned on the power of the gospel for him because he was dedicated and faithful to God. 19 years. And we think we have it tough. Amen?
Amen.
God help us. How long, Lord? Isaiah didn't stop, did he? He didn't rebel. He didn't turn away from the mission that God had called him. He said, "All right, Lord, how long you want me to do this?" You know, I have so much that I could say, and I don't have the time to do it. But let me go back with you to the scripture that we read. Why was Isaiah willing to do this? Well, because he saw the Lord, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He saw the Lord. He saw him for who he was. And what we need to do is get along with God and see him for who he is. If we can see him high and lifted up,
yes,
and his train fill the temple,
yes,
if we can see him get in our hearts and lives, in our spirit, the view of who God is, then we'll say, "Okay, God, how long do you want me to do it?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're unworthy of your calling.